Good morning, everybody, and may this be a special day, ladies, for mothers. In this church, we honour women. We feel that God has placed women in our lives for a specific purpose, and we need to really respond to that and say, God, thank you. And we do that. So, mums, have a great Mother's Day. I really pray you do. And we have a photo booth outside. Get there, get the kids. Get some photos, they're great memories to have, and just be blessed. And then afterwards we have a special morning tea we want you to be part of. Can I just say this? Guys, let the ladies go first, all right? And just hang on to the kids so that they don't jump in there in front of their mums, and so that we can bless the women with that. All right, I have a message for you this morning about Mother's Day. As I was sitting here this last Sunday, previous Sunday, I felt God just say that, tell the women the curse is broken and that they are my beloved daughters. And so I want to take that theme in what I have to say with you this morning and just share briefly. I'm not going to go long this morning because I want you to get involved in sharing Mother's Day later on. But I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So I'm going to jump around a few scriptures here. I trust you've read Genesis, you understand the story. But in verse 27 it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. So men, don't get too proud, ladies were created as well. Then we jump to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Isn't that wonderful? Wrapped in beauty. And verse 23, and Adam said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What I want you to understand, and I've said it before, that men, listen to me. God gave women to be a gift to mankind. First of all, man couldn't reproduce himself. He needed a woman, a wife, to do that. And secondly, God said, I'm giving you a helper. And in that process, he's giving unto us such something so special that, because God said it's not good for man to be alone. And it's true. It's not good for man to be alone. We need a good wife in our lives. And I want to say, sitting right alongside you guys today is a great gift from God, your wife. And I pray that you appreciate it and that you will bless her today. In our church, we want to celebrate mothers and we want to honour women in every way that we can. We believe that's God's intent and we want that to be our heart. So you've been given a woman to be with you, to be a helper, to be a mother of children, to cherish those children. And from the point is, men, we came from dirt, but women came from flesh. And so mothers, this is why boys like to play in the dirt and get in the mud, is because that's where we're going back to where we came from. But of course, women are more refined than we are, so they don't do that, do they, I hope? But coming back to the Garden of Eden, we saw that Eve was deceived there by the devil, and she and Adam disobeyed God, and sin separated them, and ultimately us, because we are the children of Adam and Eve. We are descended from Adam and Eve, and what they did, we're caught up in. The sin that they committed travels down the line, and that's how we are born, literally in that realm. And so we need, of course, forgiveness of sin like anybody else. But I want to come to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16 this morning. This is what I want to build on. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they sinned and they knew they were naked. The Bible says they knew they were naked and they were not ashamed, and then suddenly they felt naked. Now, I don't think the nakedness was with each other that they felt embarrassed. I think they felt naked because God was coming, and they felt naked before God. And so they made fig leaves and tried to cover themselves, sewed them up, tried to cover themselves so when God came, they wouldn't feel so naked and embarrassed. And really, they were carrying a guilt and a shame. And that's what nakedness reveals, a guilt and a shame before God. We were naked before Him because we were born in sin. We carried a guilt and a shame because of that. And here God says in Genesis 3:16 to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And so God places literally a curse upon women. And the only way that curse can be lifted, of course, is through Jesus Christ. The word ruler means to have dominion, to have power over. And so we need to, and can I just digress for a moment, men? That doesn't mean you have a right to have power over your wife. Because the Bible says, while in the Old Testament that was the case, the New Testament, Jesus came, Ephesians says, men love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, and I believe the modern man is not to rule over his wife, we are to lead our wives in love and care so that they can fulfill the great qualities that they have, both as mothers, wives, and children of God. Okay, but here, women are under the curse. And the curse is still in effect today, and for those who don't know Christ. And you've got to look across our world, how women are treated. It grieves me to see how women are treated in so many nations of the world, even our own nation. And we know that there's things like sexual trafficking. There's women are used as objects of sex. Women aren't paid the same as men. I know that. Governments try to turn that around, but it's still a truth. They have less opportunities, there's inequalities, there's servitude, and there's even slavery. And women have suffered over the years, and I believe it's because of what Adam and Eve did and the curse that came upon women because of that. Even in our culture today, there's sexual abuse, there's domestic violence. Now, I know some women perpetrate domestic violence on men, but that's a very small percentage. It's always the men to the women, most happening. And the thing is, and I've had to deal with some women who've been through abuse like that, and I'm saying, well, hey, you need to leave this guy. You can't stay there. And the thing is, it's a cycle. The guy abuses her, verbally abuses, physically abuses, and then he repents and says, oh, I love you so much. But there's something in the woman that keeps going back. And I'm saying, you've got to break the cycle. You've got to get out of this because it's going to go on and on like that. And how sad that is. And it's a reflection of the nature of Adam and Eve coming down through the line, the family line that we faced. I don't know whether you look at these things, but I do. I like to see what's happening around the world. And if I could just mention the Muslim religion, Islam, how women are treated in that. We were in Malaysia some years back and in Kuala Lumpur, and Malaysia is a progressive country. We're in this nice hotel and you go down to breakfast, and then there were people there from the Middle East, and in come these folks from the Middle East, and comes the man, and then the woman who has to walk behind him, that's the rule, and she's covered from head to toe. And across here, there's literally a grid. So you couldn't see her eyes, because I'm restraining Denise because she's really getting ramped up about this. She thought it was so wrong. We're watching how these poor women had to eat. We're fascinated how they're going to eat with all these robes on. And they literally put the food underneath the top part of the robe, and they eat their food that way. How oppressive. And let me tell you something. Their country is a hot country. In KL, it's hot. Like, take the middle of summer here, with the humidity and the heat, and it's like that. And here are these women with all these robes on. What it must be like under that, I don't know. And I'm just trying to point something out here. There's a lot of suffering for women around the world, and I think it's tragic. Do you know, when Muslim men get converted and become Christians, they have to be taught not to beat their wives, because that's the normal practice. You're expected to beat your wife, keep her in submission, treat her like that. It's terrible, absolutely terrible. Thank God for Jesus. Because let me point something out about the Jews in Jesus' day. You remember in, I think, John chapter 7, 6, can't remember now, 4, whatever, the woman taken in adultery. And the Bible says they caught her in the very act. Well, if they caught her in the very act, that means there was a guy involved. So where was he? Why wasn't he brought before Jesus? But no, they were going to stone her because that's what the law said. They had to stone adulterers and adulteresses, but they didn't bring the man along. They only brought the woman. Of course, Jesus was proved so gracious and said, released her by pointing out their sins. They didn't have a right to throw a stone. There's a video out, and if you've got the guts to watch it, it's called Stoning of Shariah M. It's about a woman who was a good woman, married to a Muslim man, and he wanted to divorce her and marry another woman. And she said, no, I won't give you a divorce. So he got his friend to say that this friend and this woman had had an intimate relationship. So they took her to stone her and did nothing to him. And that is the nature of the beast. How wrong is that? How wicked is that? It's sad. I hate it. And I pray against it, and I'm believing God to turn a lot of that around, and God is, which is good. Okay, let's move on. Let's not caught on that this morning. So Jesus became our curse. We'd been cursed by sin, but Jesus bore it and paid the penalty. In Galatians 3:13, the scripture says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And I want to say this morning, the power of the curse over us is broken. But sometimes we still sort of live in the curse a little bit. And I will explain that more in a moment. But the curse is broken. Ladies, I want to tell you this morning, the curse that was placed on Eve that flowed down upon you is broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you no longer have to live in the curse. You have to be believing to be free. You have to trust God that you are free. You're separated from that curse. You can walk in the freedom that Jesus brings and no longer living under the guilt and the shame that transpired down our line. I'm going to say this. I believe guilt and shame is a part of our lives. And I think that's why we tend to cringe and we have issues. But God assured us he paid the price of that he set us free. And so what we inherited in the family line is now, you know, being dealt with. And God allows, I think, the guilt and the shame for a purpose because it brings us to him. And in him we find the relief and the grace that we should find. But sometimes we allow that guilt and shame to still be part of our life when God says, I want it to be totally broken. You're no longer bound by that. You're now free from that and you can walk in that. And that's the answer that God has given unto us. But Satan plays on our guilt. He comes along and he talks to us. And he knows what we're like, and he begins to whisper and tell us that we are evil, and that we are not right with God. We had a wicked thought, we had a wicked word, we did a lot of things. We abused these women on the stage this morning. You should live in guilt and shame after all that, Ben. I tell you what, you need to repent. What you did. What a cheeky bloke he is. When you meet his father, you will understand where Ben comes from. In fact, his dad will be preaching here in early June, so look forward to that. He's a great guy. And thank you, Ben, for all you do. I do appreciate it. And why aren't you sitting with your wife this morning? It is Mother's Day, you know. At her request. Oh, Lisa. You're going to get a special crown in heaven, I promise you. God will do that for you, I'm sure. Hey, they are a great couple. It's just because they don't sit together, but that's okay. Hey, so Satan comes along and says, hey, you this, you're that, you're something else, and you feel it. It's because it's a natural reaction within us, guilt and shame. We picked it up from our forefathers way down the background there. But here's Romans 8:1 says this, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We need to declare that in our life. There is now no condemnation. I will not live in guilt. I will not live in shame. I will not live in the fear that they bring. Just because the enemy wants to pump it into my mind and say it's true, I'm saying it's not true because Jesus dealt with that. So when it comes, point them to Jesus. So moving on, once again, talking about ladies, guys, girls, come out of this. Don't live in that curse. Let grow. Let's grow on from there. But let me digress for a moment. Joshua chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3 says this. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and they lodged there. Why Rahab? And why a harlot's house? I mean, the word harlot means prostitute, adulteress. And I know there were issues in those days where women sometimes needed. The only way they could survive was to prostitute themselves. But why would God send these men to go and be with her? And I believe that's because that was God's appointment. And verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out the country. And of course, the story goes on that she didn't. She hid them. And then she provided for them to escape and get down. She lowered them down on a scarlet cord, which is a type of Christ of that time, the blood of Christ that flows down to us. And they escaped, and they got back to the land with a report. And she just asked, when you come and you invade Jericho, would you preserve me and my family? And they said, yes, if you hang that scarlet cord out the window, we will make sure you're safe and we will protect your family as well. Isn't that, why does God do that for a woman from Jericho when God said, kill everybody when you go in and you take that land? I think because God sees in Rahab's heart something that's attracted to God, a trust in God, that God did that. Let me just go a little further and read you some more scripture there. In Matthew chapter 1, 5 and 6, it's talking about the lineage of Jesus. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Now, Jesus comes through David's line. So here we have David's great-great-grandmother was Rahab, a prostitute. That'd be great. I haven't searched my family tree too far back. You never know what you find. But wouldn't you like to find there's a woman in your, you know, back in the line there who was a woman of ill repute? That would hardly be something you'd be boasting about. Oh, I've checked my family line and, you know, there's all these great people here and here's the prostitute. That would be sad. You wouldn't do that. But why did God do that? I mean, you're thinking Jesus had to be a perfect man and a perfect line, and yet God adds Rahab into the equation, into his antecedents. And also Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She wasn't a Jew. She'd married into a Jewish family. You might read the story. But here's the point. This is God we're talking about. And God's trying to say to us, whatever you've done, it doesn't limit you. Whatever you've been bound to, you don't have to live there. You can come out of the curse and into life. And sometimes we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, but it's a growing experience. That's the beginning, not the end. And we need to let Him work within us to bring changes in our mind, and that's what the Bible helps to do. It transforms our minds. Where we know the Lord and the experience brings into our life that not only the forgiveness of sin, but dealing with all the issues of guilt and shame and fear that have come by the curse. And I'm particularly talking to the women this morning about that. I want to tell you a story. It is really one of my favourite stories. I know it's a strange one and I've told it before. It's about a couple who lived sort of out of the city a little bit in a particular town, and the city grew towards there and there were some industrial estates. And then one day, next door to them, a building was established and it was turned into a brothel. And so here's this couple who are getting a little older now, living next door to a brothel. And that means, you know, comings and goings during the night. And their friends said to them, oh, I suppose you'll move now. They said, well, you know, we just feel God wants us to stay here. And so they stayed there and they began to pray for the people next door in the brothel. And then one night, they're sitting there, the blinds were back on the window and they're looking outside and they see this naked girl running up their driveway and knocking on their door, and they bring her in and put a blanket around her. And she said, I'm fleeing because the client I had became very violent and I just wanted to escape, and that's why I've come here. So the husband said, well, look, you stay and talk to my wife and I'll go next door and explain to the people where you are. And so he went next door and he talked to the man. He said, the woman's over there, she's safe. She's with my wife. In the meantime, the wife has led that young girl to the Lord. She's become a Christian. And so the ongoing story from that is that that couple became the chaplains for the brothel. Now, I know that will blow a lot of religious minds this morning. And you think, how can that be? How can God, you know, condone such a thing as a brothel and prostitution happening in that way? Well, I can't speak for God, but I know this. God loves those women. He loves those people. And I want to say this morning, he loves you, ladies. And he doesn't want you to live in any guilt or shame. He wants you to be free. And good things happen because of that couple. The brothel owner said, look, I'm happy for them to, you know, move on from this because I'm just, you know, I'm running a business. That's what I'm doing. And a lot of those girls went on to do other things and become women of, you know, different occupations. Let's put it that way. How good is God? How good is God? We receive that. You know, my daughter gave me a mug once that said, well done, Dad, I'm awesome. I think I'm going to get a mug that says, well done, God, I'm awesome. Not because I want to blow my own trumpet, but I want to blow his trumpet. Because I'm awesome because of him. You're awesome because of God Almighty and what he's done. And we walk today in his love and his care. And if you say I'm not worthy, well, it's true, you're not worthy, but Jesus makes us worthy. And that's what we need to declare. I am worthy in him. What a great feeling that is. You know, I often wonder how God feels about the treatment of the gift that he gave to man, which is woman. And I just want to encourage every man here, appreciate your wife and appreciate women in general and raise your daughters to be honouring as well. One of the reasons I love Mother's Day, I know some people harp on and say, it's commercial, presents and cards and so. Well, yeah, if you want to have that attitude, but for me, it's an opportunity to honour. And we want to be honouring people. I want this to be an honouring church. I want people in this church to have such a sense that we love people and we honour them. We honour God and we honour people. How important that is. So this morning, I want to do what we normally do each year, is that we invite women to join us at the front. Not just mothers, but women. And if you have a daughter with you, you know, by all means bring her. I mean, a young child, but not a woman at this stage, but she's welcome to come too. And I want to do something special. I felt God a few weeks ago give me the thought to get Beck and Apilly to sing the blessing over women. And I just felt God is going to do something special when that happens. And so I invite you to come. You don't have to be a mother. You just have to be a female. And I invite you to come. Why don't you stand, ladies?